Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, welcome back to 106.7 The Fan, the show you've been waiting all week for. I'm Adam Epstein, on from 7 o'clock tonight until 9 p.m. The biggest day in sports, in my world, the brackets are released. At least it's the most anticipated day in sports for me, and I think others would agree with me because, you know, with the NFL, everyone's anticipating the Super Bowl, the top two teams to go at each other. The NBA, you're anticipating the NBA Finals, MLB, same thing with the World Series, and same thing with hockey. But with college basketball, you're not anticipating a game. You're just anticipating the reveal. Who's going to be playing who? Where are they at? Will my team have a favorable matchup? We'll get to all of that here. 1-800-636-1067 if you want to chime in. I will be joined at 7:30. This is going to be a segment you will not want to miss. I'll be joined by Lance Meadow, and he is the Giants Radio Network post-game host and pregame host and everything in between. Let me tell you about Lance Meadow. You can follow him on Twitter at Lance Meadow, and he works for SiriusXM in New York, but he's been all over the Giants beat for the last few years. My buddy who works, Andrew, who works for Sirius in New York, basically tells me that everybody covering the Giants wants to talk to this guy because Lance Meadow breaks down the games. He's getting close with the players, all that. I'm going to ask him specifically about Landon Collins, about the Giants next season, and where he thinks this Redskins team will match up in the NFC East. And I think that will be nice to hear from someone outside of this market. You know, because Monday through Friday, you got the Junks, you got Grant and Danny. And I love getting Grant Polson's take on anything Redskins because he was a beat reporter for so long. And then, you know, Chad Dukes has all these great guests on, and he's such a big Redskins fan. But this is your chance now at 7:30 to hear an outside perspective on this big signing the Redskins made in Landon Collins. So that is your 7:30 segment. And at 8 o'clock, I will give you, if you're a betting man out there, 8 o'clock's the time to listen to my show because I'm going to tell you the biggest upsets on the brackets this year. If you want to make some money, if you want to have a correct Final Four, you got to listen to Adam Epstein at 8 o'clock. Hit me on Twitter at TheOneSportsNerd. That's where I'm at on Instagram as well. I was doing a lot of skits and bits in New York this weekend as I went to the Atlantic 10 Conference Championship, and you can see all that on my Instagram page. And I'll get to that later because that was an interesting networking trip, and it's always fun to see VCU, George Mason, and GW as well. So I do want to start the show by getting off my chest the biggest stories in sports nationally and locally and basically my spin on them, okay? And the biggest story that I saw was the Redskins trading for Case Keenum because at first I fell for the trap. You know what I mean? Like the Redskins make another offseason move where we're getting a quarterback and similar to last year, they didn't want the Redskins did not trust Colt McCoy to take the snaps at the start of the year. And at first I saw this trade and I said, meh, ech, another ech quarterback, another average quarterback for the Redskins. But then I started thinking, this is the team that was 6-3 last season. The team that was 6-3 before Alex Smith got hurt. The team that was winning ugly. That's the theme that was here in D.C. This season, we are winning ugly. Down in the trenches, getting a stop on the final play against the Panthers. We were winning games that usually we had lost in years past. So that's why when we bring back Case, when we bring in Case Keenum here, my first thought was meh. But now after thinking about it, it might be kind of brilliant for the Redskins to just give this one more go. Have Case Keenum do his best Alex Smith impersonation. Throw for 178 yards. No interceptions. Run for 5 or 10 and get a first down on 3rd and 1 if you have to. And don't turn the ball over. Find the open tight end, the open man, and give the rock to AP when it's 3rd and short. And keep the sticks moving. So I actually think that it's not the worst thing the Redskins have done. And I'll get into more of that later. The Redskins signed Landon Collins, and the biggest question is, should he be able to wear number 21? Should he be able to rock the Sean Taylor jersey? And as much as that would be cool to see that flash across the screen, 21 with a big tackle, 21 with an interception, I'm actually against that. The NCAA brackets just got released, all right? And again, 1-800-636-1067. If you're driving around in your car and you haven't figured that out, who's playing who, Duke was the one seed, obviously, with Gonzaga and with UNC also as one seeds. And I think those are probably the teams to look out for there. UVA gets a one seed. I'm not thinking UVA is making that much noise this season. We can talk NCAA brackets as well. And finishing out the week in sports here, I have to talk about Bradley Beal and what he's doing for the Wizards right now. It's hard to watch Wizards games, and if you're a Wizards fan out there, the truth is that there's no way you're watching all four quarters anymore. You're going to make a soup. You're going out to dinner or something in the middle of the game because it's not that much fun to watch anymore. But it should be mentioned how good, how outstanding Bradley Beal has been playing later. And if you're a Wizards fan, my number one take from this week, as much as Bobby Portis, okay, and Jabari Parker are impressing you, we cannot re-sign them. We have to let them test free agency. Have to let them test free agency because they are expensive. If you didn't see, Bryce Harper hurt his ankle and also struck out, but then he returned the next day as the DH. But Juan Soto's hitting bombs. Eric Arnold, my producer over there, I bet that you were watching that game and did like 12 fist bumps.
I was actually, studio producing the game here because it was on 106.7 The Fan, and I was doing fist bumps in the play-by-play studio down the hall here. It seems like I've been the most worried about if he's going to have a sophomore slump or not, and I know it's just spring training, but he looks good. His play discipline is still there, so... You know, I've been worried about teams kind of figuring him out a little bit, figuring out how to pitch to him. But it seems like so far in the spring that doesn't really matter, and he's ready to go.
Right, and I think he's ready to go and get off to a hot start. Like the Harper-level hot start of, like, opening day home run level.
Yeah, and without Bryce, I'm a little concerned about the team's power in terms of just, are they going to be able to hit enough home runs? But Soto is going to be the key to that. If Soto can hit bombs and has more power than he had last year, and he's up here for a full season, it's going to be a good thing for the team.
1-800-636-1067. You're listening to Adam Epstein. This week in sports, all the biggest stories, and this is my take. All right, you might have heard the Junkies, Grant, Danny, Chad. This is my take though, and I saw LeBron get blocked by Mario Hezonja on a game-winning shot. That, in my opinion, is the perfect definition of this season for LeBron James. No matter what he could do, other teams were just better than his team. He might be the GOAT, even though I still say Jordan, but you just can't do it with bums around you game after game after game. Lakers are 2-8 in their last 10 games and are farthing further and further away from the playoffs. Here's a big one, a big story locally, and you might not know this, but DC United won 5-0 yesterday. They moved to 2-1-0 and are in first place 3 games into the season. Wayne Rooney, who was the big pickup in the middle of last season, man, he's looked good to start this season. I told you guys, you give him a full offseason to train with MLS players and MLS talent, not only is he going to play well, but he's going to make everyone around him better. And we're seeing that right now. A 5-0 victory with a Wayne Rooney hat trick. I said this a few weeks ago. I'm going to keep repeating it. So everybody out there listening to 106.7 The Fan can know that Adam Epstein said first, DC United is going to bring the next championship to DC. It was the Capitals last year. It's DC United this year. And they're 2-1-0. And I actually believe You might have to fact check me on this, Eric, but I believe that Bill Hamid has not given up a goal in the first three games. And Bill Hamid's a great guy. He's a local kid also. So that's why I think it's so cool to have you know your best local product at keeper starting for DC United. The Caps lost to the Lightning the other night and now sit tied for third with 91 points and just 10 games left. Second place is in reach for the Capitals with Boston just 4 points ahead at 91. But I wouldn't be mad with the Capitals finishing in third place here because, Eric, the thing is with the Caps this season is we just want to avoid the Lightning until the final.
I agree. The biggest thing for me is I just want them to stay healthy into the playoffs. No major injuries. I don't want to lose any pieces that we have. I want to keep the group together, stay hot. And, you know, the Lightning are a really good team if we have to play them. You know, we had to beat them last year. You know, I think that Tampa's a better team this year. But, you know, if our core group stays together and continues to play the way that they can, I think that they could beat them in a seven-game series.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you there. I think that this Capitals team has the making of a Stanley Cup champion squad. I think we made all the right decisions as far as the offseason, bringing people back. And, look, people have questioned Coach Todd Reirden. I'm not going to question him until we see him in the playoffs. See how he adjusts. You know, because the big season, a big thing with Trotz last year was that he trusted the wrong goalkeeper at the wrong time, and it almost cost us. Eric, we barely survived that first series, and people forget that.
Yeah, and once they went back to Holtby and remembered, oh yeah, Holtby is actually really good, and we probably should have stayed with him the whole time, and he turned it on, and it was there was no looking back after that.
Yep. I am at The One Sports Nerd on Instagram and Twitter. Once again, at 7:30, big interview, Lance Meadow of the Giants Radio Network pre- and post-game. He is their host. I will talk to him all about Landon Collins and kind of work our way around the NFC East. Coming right up next is Redskins Roundup, 1-800-636-1067. This week's question, should Landon Collins wear number 21? I'm Adam Epstein on The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to 106.7 The Fan. I'm your host, Adam Epstein, on a Sunday night with Selection Sunday. I'll talk brackets at 8 o'clock. I'm saving that for the whole 8 o'clock hour if I get phone calls. All right, if not, then I'll move on to the NBA. Eric wants to talk Nationals. We can talk about the Capitals, the playoffs coming up. But if I get phone calls at 8, we're going to talk brackets. That's for sure. Because I think it's a huge part of the sports world for the next month. And everyone wants to chime in and say, ooh, hey, pick me. I know that Wofford's going to get the upset this year. I know it's going to be UNC Wilmington. Whatever it's going to be, whatever your thoughts are, 8 o'clock is when you can chime in for that. I'm Adam Epstein at The One Sports Nerd on Twitter. Follow me for the best DC sports takes in town. This is the Redskins Roundup. My segment where I go over the top news and notes out of Redskins Park. This week we've got about 4 to 5 big stories. Let's call it 4.5 stories. And you know what? Let's round up to 5 on this week's Redskins Roundup. 1-800-636-1067. This week's question. Should Landon Collins wear number 21? Interested to hear your thoughts on that. But with the Redskins signing Landon Collins, I truly believe that the Washington Redskins sent a message to their fan base by signing Landon. The Redskins spent money on a top free agent safety this offseason. Thank the Lord. They made the right decision. They made the right decision and the right guy between him, Eric Weddle, Eric Thomas, all the other safeties out there. I truly think that Landon Collins was the right decision for the Redskins. They made right by the fans who loved DJ Swearinger by replacing him with a proven young talent to take over for the long haul. Because DJ Swearinger was a captain of the defense in 2017. And if you ask him, he claims to have been voted captain in 2018-19 as well. Then, obviously, after opening his mouth in a post-game press conference for the third time, three strikes and you're out, they released him. And I still believe that he was a valuable trade option with just two games left in the season. I'm still convinced that even if it was the right move to remove the cancer in the locker room of DJ and his big mouth, suspending him and then trading him in the offseason probably would have been the better business option. All right, but I digress, okay? This defense was ranked near the bottom in the league last year in yards allowed. And they're bringing back the same D coordinator. Here's my thought. I've always believed that the most important position in football on the defensive side of the field is safety. Now, the way the game has changed, I think people argue that it's more linebackers because of their ability to, you know, guard the tight end, to rush the passer, to stop the run. But I've always felt that it's safety. I think that they have the biggest impact on the game for their defense. Whether it's free or strong safety, just by making tackles, assists in the backfield, interceptions, pass deflections, or even sacks. The best safeties do it all. And they're involved in everything on the defensive side of the field. This signing in Landon Collins is the organization making a statement to the fans. Hey, we made a mistake on DJ Swearinger. And now we spent the money to make sure you guys are happy with his replacement. We signed a defensive playmaker. We signed a guy who can make short tackles, who has the ability to make an interception, return it for a touchdown. I've seen him do that before. We've got that covered now for the next four seasons. He may not be a ball hawk like Ed Reed was, but Landon Collins is a heavy hitter. As another Bama boy on the roll, Skins. And the Redskins got a guy that's going to be a difference maker, an X factor on defense. 1-800-636-1067. But the question is, should Landon Collins be able to wear number 21? The other big story that I have to mention was obviously trading for Case Keenum. And at first, obviously, this looks like the opposite of a splash. This looks like a 4'2", like a 100-pound kid doing a cannonball. There's very little splash. But let's look into this a little further. All right, because I really think it was obvious that the Redskins weren't confident to go into the season with Colt McCoy slated as the starter. Just like last season, the Redskins made an offseason trade for a quarterback prior to the draft and are still going to look for a franchise quarterback for the future. I look at Case Keenum as a fancy Band-Aid. A Band-Aid with Star Wars pictures on it, with Pokemon. You know what I mean? It's like colorful. That's the kind of Band-Aid I see him. Like, people are going to look at it and say, oh, that's cool. It's a nice little Band-Aid. It's going to stop the bleeding for now. The bleeding of 20 years without a quarterback. A quality quarterback. A quality young quarterback leading this team back to the promised land. Case Keenum will and can and should and would. And I'm telling you right now that Case Keenum is going to be a competent quarterback for the Redskins this season. He's better than like Blake Bortles, Jameis Winston, and Joe Flacco. Andy Dalton, Ryan Tannehill is the level I put him at. And if you look at those guys and their records, maybe not last year, but over the last 5 years, they can win 7, 8, 9 games. You give them a solid running game. You give them a defense. He's the type of quarterback that will have a 9-10 win season under his belt with a strong defense and a running game. Redskins fans, you should be happy. We can win games with Case Keenum. We're going to have to win ugly. We're going to have to get... Our defense is going to have to play better than last year. But Case Keenum I believe, can take us back to the Redskins team that was 6-3. Get us back to that form with Keenum at the helm. And a healthy backfield split of AP and Geis. Now, what do the numbers say Case Keenum can do? He started 16 games for Denver last year. Yeah, they had a lousy 6-10 record. He had 15 interceptions, just 18 touchdowns. But he did throw a career-high 3,890 yards. I don't think this is the Case Keenum the Redskins will be getting. Because you can argue with me, 1-800-636-1067, but I truly believe the Redskins have more offensive weapons when healthy than the Denver Broncos did last year. In 2017, that's when Keenum took the Vikings. They were 11-3 in the 14 games he played. He threw 22 touchdowns and 7 interceptions and one game where he put up a bajillion yards against the Redskins and I believe 45 points. In 2017, he had the Vikings as one of the dark horses to make the Super Bowl. He threw for 3,547 yards. He was finding the open guy. He would constantly step back, survey the field, and find the open target. And I say that like it's so simple, like anybody could do it, like we're playing Madden. But in the NFL, with the defensive players that are freaking 6'8 and 400 pounds, stuff like that, coming after you, it's very hard to do. And in Washington, we've seen people fail at that. I will say I noticed Keenum to be similar to Alex Smith and this. He will choose the shorter route option over the longer. All right. If there's a concept where Jordan Reed is running a 5-yard out, okay, and Paul Richardson Jr. is running a 15-yard corner route, they're both going to the left side and they're both open, okay? Redskins fans, Keenum is going to throw the 5-yard route to Jordan Reed and get 8 yards and move the chains. And Alex Smith did the same thing. He's not going to turn the ball over. And we have to live with that and be happy with it for this season. I think we will see a Redskins team that can be similar to last year, where it was dominant with a lead, good offensive drives, good concepts with play action, working the ball over the middle. I think this is a Redskins team that when behind, though, will very much struggle to score points. They won't have any quick hitters. If we're down 14-0, those are the games I think the Redskins are going to lose. But this Redskins coaching staff, from everything I've noticed this offseason, the way they're doing things, they firmly believe they have the ingredients to get back to that 6-3 team from a year ago. We're going to see a lot more ground and pound this season. Probably more ground and pound this season than the last 5 seasons for the Redskins, just because Gruden knows that he has to take advantage. He has to take advantage of Darius Geis. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Real quick, let's go to Walter in Alexandria. You're on the Fan.
Yes. You know, Dan Snyder could have been of the philosophy that Sean Taylor was very good. He wore 21. But I want you to be twice as good. In fact, I want you to be even better. So to motivate you, I'm going to give you 22. So that way you know you need to be twice as good.
Yeah. Walt,
and I think that might have motivated Colin, so he would probably pay back.
Right. Walt, I'm 100% with you there. And I actually think you make a great point. Why put the pressure on him to be number 21? Let him be number 22. I like that. I'm all in now. I mean, maybe we should let him choose his favorite number. But if he chooses 22, I don't want him under the pressure that he has to contribute like Sean Taylor did. Jason in Gaithersburg, you're on the Fan.
Hey, what's up, Adam? Hey, I want to spitball with you a little bit.
Okay.
A couple things. One, nothing the Redskins organization does, like getting this free safety from New York, has anything to do with the fan base. They are so oblivious of what the fan base does or wants that I don't think they do anything anymore to appease the fan base, regardless of DJ Swearinger. The number two thing is, as far as number 21 goes with our new guy, Collins, I personally don't really care if he wears the number. If the family says it's cool, let him have at it. because an unpopular Redskins fan opinion, and as a diehard Redskins fan, I for one thought Sean Taylor was an outstanding player, but was a jerk.
Well, here's the thing. I got to cut you off because you called Sean Taylor a jerk, and he's my favorite player of all time. You just can't say that to me on my show. Here's the thing. Sean Taylor might have been a jerk his first few years in the league, but Sean Taylor became a mensch his last few years before he passed away. Sean Taylor was a great person who actually became a great man and a great athlete on the field, and I don't think Landon Collins should wear number 21. We'll get back to this later, but I've got a guest coming up next. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to The Fan. My producer, Eric Arnold, with another excellent selection for the Moise, for the music. Moise.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Ah! Nothing better than that to start a radio show. I'm Adam Epstein on 106.7 The Fan. Follow me on Twitter at TheOneSportsNerd. You can follow my guest, Lance Meadow, on Twitter at LanceMeadow. Lance, thanks for joining me on the show tonight.
Thanks for having me, Adam. Appreciate it.
Yeah,
how's it with you?
Right? So you are the Giants pre- and post-game radio host, and I actually think that that is a great position to be in, and hopefully we can start a friendship here and maybe a little bit of a rivalry as the Redskins and Giants, you know, face off throughout the season. First thing I want to ask you, though, is, like, how would you grade Landon Collins' play on the field from what you saw over his years with the Giants?
Well, Landon Collins has led the team in tackles just about all four seasons that he's been with the team. So in terms of his ability to see the field, get down in the box, and make the necessary play, I think that he fulfilled the Giants' expectations. I think, you know, the main issue with Landon Collins moving forward is if you ask him to be that center fielder type of role, can he handle that consistently? Now, I think it was a mix of the good and the bad during the course of his Giants tenure. To say that he can't defend the back end of the field, I think, is misleading, and it's a convenient narrative for people that just dislike him. But the results were certainly mixed. I think that's well documented. He had that one opportunistic season, Adam, in 2016 when he had five interceptions. He had four sacks. He was all over the place. It was a breakout campaign. That was his second year in the league. Since then, the numbers have dipped. Now, part of that is, I think, the Giants' defense overall not necessarily playing consistently, maybe not necessarily just a reflection of Landon Collins' play, but if the Redskins plan on him being that game changer, I think they're going to have a complementary safety next to him. And as you well know and your audience knows, it's been a revolving door at safety. So I'm going to be very interested to see who complements Landon Collins with the Redskins moving forward.
Yeah, Lance, I'm glad you mentioned that 2016 season where Landon Collins had five interceptions, because I really do feel like that was a playoff Giants team. If the Giants defense was that good, 2017 or 18, maybe he gets a few more interceptions. But I want to know, did you see him progress as a person off the field, you know, in the locker room, as an athlete?
Well, I don't think there was ever any question, Adam, with respect to his ability to command the locker room. I don't think that anybody ever doubted that. I think when you take into consideration the fact that the Giants, as you sort of alluded to just now, had well-documented issues in terms of the locker room, and that's why I think they moved on from guys like Eli Apple and so forth, it was well-documented that they needed a voice for the sake of consistency. And I think Landon Collins provided that. You know, he was not afraid to speak his mind to the media, but he also wasn't afraid to not necessarily call out teammates in a disrespectful manner, but make sure that everybody needed focus. And they looked to him. I think the coaching staff looked to him, as well as even some of the veteran teammates, because he didn't shy away from that role. So I think Landon Collins has matured over the course of time with the New York Giants, and I don't think it's going to be any issue if there's any people that are questioning how he's going to fit in with the Redskins, because as you well know, it's basically going to be an Alabama reunion in Washington. He knows so many of the guys who played college ball with him. So if anything, I think that he'll fit right into that locker room in Washington.
Yeah, Lance, you mentioned it. I'm calling it the Rollskins now. That's the Redskins defense. So you can get that going in New York, too. Tell them Adam set it up. But anyway,
give you credit, I promise.
I'd love that. Why do you think the Giants let him walk, though? Do you think it was just money? Do you think the Giants are maybe just rebuilding, starting again defensively? What was the main issue that ended up having him land in Washington? And like you said, we get another Alabama player.
Well, I don't think it had anything to do with his personality in the locker room. I think you could cross that off the list. I think it was two parts here. I think number one, which is what I just mentioned, the inconsistency of his play and the fact that they were looking for a little bit more consistency on the back end, I think was one factor. And I think the other factor is, if you remove the $11 million that they were going to pay him under the franchise tag, now they can maybe target two safeties to play that one position. As you well know, now that the Giants moved on from Odell Beckham, they're not necessarily looking to part ways with talented players. It's the fact that there's so many holes on the defensive side of the ball, and I think by freeing up more money, it gives them the opportunity to address multiple needs as opposed to just locking up the majority of the roster with four or five guys that are going to eat up the bulk of the cap space.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned ODB, and that brings me to my next question. Do you think right now, grading the off seasons, who had the better off season between the Giants and the Redskins, and who set themselves up to kind of make a mark in the NFC East this season?
Well, I would not overlook the Philadelphia Eagles. I think that's a team that deserves a great deal of credit when you look at the fact that they've been able to retain some of their key playmakers, the fact that Brandon Graham was brought back. I think that was huge. And even though they lose Nick Foles, that now frees them up with more money to address other areas. They also retain a few of the corners on the back end, and that obviously was a pressing issue based on last season when they gave up a lot of big plays through the air. So to me, I still think the Philadelphia Eagles are in the driver's seat. I think it's way too early to really officially grade everybody. You know, the Giants have brought in some complimentary players, but as I mentioned, we got to really see what happens with their draft class. That's where they're going. They're going in a youth movement. They got three starters out of their first four picks in 2018's draft. Now they got 12 picks, an opportunity to do even more damage with respect to the nucleus of the team. So how the young players develop is going to, I think, say a lot about their outlook for the immediate future. But Philadelphia is in much better shape. And I also don't think Dallas is a team to sleep on. And they did not do much of anything this offseason. They got to see what happens with DeMarcus Lawrence, a long-term contract. But, Adam, I think the Cowboys deserve kudos because they've got a good nucleus. And if they stay as is with that defense and that linebacking core, I think they're going to be right in the thick of things. So to me, Philadelphia and Dallas right now are the two teams to beat. And Washington is one to keep close eyes on, depending on how the defensive chemistry plays out with some of their new arrivals.
Yeah, Lance, it really pains me to say this, but I truly believe the Cowboys are the team to beat in the NFC East. I think they'll probably win it again just because that nucleus is so strong and so young. You're listening to 106.7 The Fan. Adam Epstein joined by Lance Meadow. He is the Giants pre- and post-game radio host. Lance, what do you think the Giants will do at that draft spot at number six? Because it could end up, you know, affecting the Redskins' decision.
It could very well. I mean, especially if Washington has perhaps eyes on a quarterback, even though they brought in Case Keenum, I wouldn't rule that out. I think you can argue that with Alex Smith's uncertainty and his health moving forward, that they could utilize a young quarterback. I personally don't think the Giants are going to grab a quarterback at six. I think right now they need defensive help, and I think there's a lot of pass rushers, and I think they could grab a premier playmaker at number six overall if you look at some of the top guys that are projected to go there. So I think Dave Gettleman, knowing his track record in Carolina, he'll probably go defensive line. And then I could see him even taking another defensive lineman because, you know, they got rid of JPP, they got rid of Olivier Vernon. They need to rebuild that rotational group of players on the front seven. If they don't do that, you know, they're not going to get after the quarterback and they're going to be at the bottom of the barrel where they were last season when they only had 30 sacks and they were tied for second to last in the NFL. So if you go to Carolina, his days as general manager, he didn't shy away from taking sometimes two defensive linemen in a row. I think he's going to adopt a very similar game plan, and I think that's the position they're going to focus on, starting with the number six overall pick.
You know what, Lance, it's pretty interesting what's been going on with Eli the last few years. And, you know, being from a guy from Washington here in D.C., I was actually rooting for Eli, both Super Bowls, you know, when they knock off New England. And now it's something that you really don't see often in sports where a guy is kind of being like, pushed out the door by like fans who want Eli gone. And, you know, he's got teammates there that obviously still respect him and think he might have another run in him. But what's the media thought with the Giants. Do they need to move on from Eli now?
Well, right now he's the best quarterback on the roster. I think if you look at their other options, Kyle Laletta is an unproven quarterback who got into one game, as you well know, against the Redskins late in the season and didn't even complete a pass. He's raw. He's still in the early phases of his development. And Alex Tanning is their other quarterback who's been a journeyman during the course of his career and never really emerged as a legitimate option for any team. So if you're looking at the options now, for anybody to say that they should move on from Eli Manning, my response to them is, what's plan B? Who's coming in, especially if you haven't drafted a quarterback yet? I think the media frenzy surrounding Eli Manning right now is overly critical given the fact that the Giants haven't won in recent history. So that comes with the territory when you're a quarterback. And number two, I think people look at the writing on the wall and they say, well, if you part ways with Landon Collins, you part ways with Odell Beckham, you're going in a younger direction. Why not start over and develop a young quarterback simultaneously? But if you listen to what President and CEO John Mara have said, Dave Gettleman have said, they're not in the business of tanking. They're
right.
going to do as much as they can to remain competitive, Adam. So if you want to remain competitive, you know, the learning curve with a young quarterback could fluctuate. Therefore, that is why I think it makes a lot of sense to hold on to Eli Manning. Plus, he can mentor a quarterback if they choose to go in that direction.
Right, and I think other people would argue, I'm not saying I disagree with you, but I think some people would argue, hey, just bench Eli Manning. Just go 1-15, completely start over, get the first or second pick. And in Washington, I actually think that like that was the move to make in this offseason to not go sign someone. But we end up with Case Keenum. So, Lance, how do you think Case Keenum's going to be able to handle this Washington offense? Because I started this show by saying Keenum is not a big splash, but he could be as good as Alex Smith was when the Skins were 6-3.
Well, when you look at Alex Smith and him thriving in Washington for those first eight games of last season, well, what was the common element, Adam? It was certainly Alex Smith's decision-making, but I think you got to give credit to the offensive line, which was healthy, remember, at that point in the season, and Adrian Peterson running the football. So my response would be, if you want Case Keenum to have success in Washington, you have to do those two things all over again. All you need to do is go back and look at what he did in Minnesota. He had a good offensive line, and he had a respectable running game. It's not as if Pat Shurmur, who was the offensive coordinator, coincidentally, for the Vikings, when Case Keenum had a great season, they weren't asking him to play hero ball. He did have Stephon Diggs. He did have Kyle Rudolph. He did have Adam Thielen. Don't get me wrong. But they were putting themselves in a position where they were playing with a lead. They were putting together long drives, winning the time of possession battle. And that was all a reflection of the offensive line in the running game. So if you now come forward another year and you look at Washington, to me the million-dollar question is, can this offensive line stay healthy? It's been a revolving door, as you well know and your audience does, but they've got the playmakers. If that offensive line doesn't stay healthy, Adam, to me it doesn't matter whether it's Kyler Murray, Case Keenum, or somebody in between off the street. You're going to struggle if you can't protect your quarterback and you can't run the football.
Yeah, good points, man. Great stuff. Great stuff on the Fan. That's Lance Meadow, covers the Giants for the Giants Radio Network. Lance, thanks so much. I hope to have you back on during the season, dude.
You got it. Thanks for having me, Adam. Appreciate
yep.
it.
Tell Andrew he owes you a beer.
Will do.
Yep. This is Adam Epstein on 106.7 The Fan. We will continue the Redskins roundup. I've got some phone calls, some people on the line who want to contribute to Landon Collins. Should he wear number 21 or not? I'll give you my take when we get back here on The Fan. Welcome back to 106.7 The Fan. This is your Redskins roundup with Adam Epstein. Follow me on Twitter at TheOneSportsNerd. During Redskins season, I'll give you all the info for the best tailgates in town. I am a Redskins season ticket holder. I'm at every home game and out there drinking with my dad. We split a beer. That's what we're known for because my dad's got to drive. You can't get too drunk at Redskins games. But anyway, during Redskins roundup, I go over the top stories out of Ashburn. And my question this week, 1-800-636-1067. Should Landon Collins be allowed to wear number 21? Do you want number 21 to be flashing on your screen again like it did before the passing of Sean Taylor? 1-800-636-1067. Should Landon Collins wear number 21? But at a Redskins park this week, Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie in the building. If this was 6 years ago, there would be a parade. If this was 12 years ago, it would be his brother, and people would be going nuts. Antonio Cromartie was an excellent quarterback that played in the NFL forever, with nonstop speed, and Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, his brother, similar athletic build and body type, not nearly the amount of success and longevity for a DRC. But the Redskins were interested in him last year and actually chose the cheaper option. If you remember, Orlando Scandrick was the guy who the Redskins signed, and he became a locker room distraction right away. He didn't even last half the season with the Skins. But in Rogers Cromartie, the Skins are getting an experienced vet, like I said, with a ton of speed. And you can't underpay for speed, especially with this Redskins defense. And last year at times, Clinton Dix was looking like the fat kid on recess. I mean, he couldn't chase anybody down. So now DRC will come in. And being later in his career, I actually expect him to play a lot of slot corner and like deep zone coverage when we do like a three deep zone. And I think that's where he could find some success for the Redskins in being not necessarily a ball hawk, but a guy that when there's a floater out there, he's going to make a play on it. I've seen him make great plays on the ball. It's because he uses his speed. He uses his speed to recover on deep balls. And the Redskins, the word recover and their cornerbacks wasn't used at all last year. Because if you got burnt at the line, you were done. You were done. Michael Gallup up the sideline for the Cowboys. And that happened twice last season. But I really think DRC, Dominique Rogers Cromartie, has that speed to recover on plays where he might be burnt at the line. And we could see him slide into the punt returner position. We're losing Jamison Crowder. Okay, he's gone. So that position is now up for grabs. And Trey Quinn took over that job, I think, at the end of last year. But here's the thing. Trey Quinn has to step up as our slot corner this year. I don't want him returning punts. That's a huge position at slot corner. That's a huge role, and he has to focus on that. Let's use DRC for that with his speed. And I also think the Skins will make another cornerback signing and another safety signing, whether it be later in free agency or the draft. 1-800-636-1067. Should Landon Collins be able to wear number 21? Spencer and Culpepper, you're on the Fan.
Yes, I think that he should be able to. And I think that it would show a lot of class just having him out there. But I was also curious if you could talk about the leadership in the locker room. It seems like all these Alabama players, they all love Ryan Anderson, and they all say they talk to him. And he was at the table when Landon Collins was there. And he's not a star player for us, but I would just like to hear about how the locker room, how you think it is with that.
So I think that, Spencer, I think that a lot of bringing together Alabama guys, we're going to see, like, over the course of the next 2 years, the chemistry and the cohesiveness increase because of that. I really do think that the more Alabama players, the more the guys get along and hang out, is going to help them in the heat of a moment figure out which gap to go to. And with Ryan Anderson, yeah, he's a Bama guy, and he just hasn't flashed yet. This is the season that I expect to see him make plays. Spencer, because
I think that even him not even flashing and stuff, I think them just keeping Ryan Anderson around, he's a very powerful voice. And yeah. I would like to hear more about, I wish I could hear Craig talk about it more and stuff, but I think that he's very influential.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Ryan Anderson could end up being a big special teams player for the Skins this year. And, you know, with Zach Brown gone, we don't know what's going to happen with Mason Foster. He could slide in and play a lot of third downs and be a difference maker. Ryan Anderson is not a guy that I have given up on yet for the Redskins. Another Redskin news and note from Ashburn on the Redskins roundup I want to mention was Maurice Harris signing with the Patriots. The Skins are losing a sure-handed receiver in Maurice Harris. Mo Harris desperately needed more playing time in Washington. It didn't happen. And it wouldn't surprise me if the Patriots used his good route running and above-average hands to continue to work the middle of the field. We saw him step in for Crowder in the slot, and on big downs, he finds soft spots in the zone, and he just catches it and goes down. And that's all you need. Now, I'm not saying Maurice Harris is going to be like a fantasy option with the New England Patriots, but I expect him to be successful. Washington never gave him enough balls. You remember that deep pass to the Vikings? A one-handed snag for like 60 yards into the end zone. One of the greatest catches in the last 5 years for the Redskins. We're going to miss Maurice Harris, and the Skins need to pick up another receiver. I'm not okay with our group going into it right now. I love the tight end if it's healthy, and running backs. Don't love wide receivers. Not right now. 1-800-636-1067. Matt and Stafford, you're on the Fan.
Hi, Adam.
Hey.
Is the pizza banging tonight?
It was banging in New York, hey. Man. I'll tell you this. I had pizza or bagel or a wrap at like 3 a.m. every night. So it was banging in New York.
Awesome. Hey, I think the fan base for Redskins, they're probably about 50-50 on if Landon Collins should wear 21, but pretty much after you heard the story about the jersey and the signed jersey and how he broke down and how he was so emotional and how much it meant to him, it's hard to say that he shouldn't wear that.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Landon Collins shouldn't wear number 21 just because of the legacy of Sean Taylor. It's so the legacy in DC of Sean Taylor might be the biggest like legacy of a player that passed away in the entire earth. In earth, Eric. The entire universe. I mean, just if you think about it, you might not even be a Redskins fan, but if you live in the DMV, you know about what happened to Sean Taylor. You know about what 2-1 represents. You know about the fact that the Redskins haven't had a safety since then. All right, so here's my take. Officially, Adam Epstein's take on Landon Collins. Sean Taylor, the most recognizable player in the last 25 years of Redskins history. Everything he did for us on the field and off the field should be remembered exactly as that. It shouldn't be changed at all. And Landon Collins may be a huge Sean Taylor supporter, and he could, you know, really honor his name by wearing the jersey, but I don't believe that that's what we need right now. As nice as it might be to see 21 flash and pop on big plays, I truly believe that Sean Taylor's legacy should remain untouched, never to be worn again. Leave it the way it is. More on 106.7 The Fan when I come back.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.